without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The government is the problem.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Touch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Is it time for me to talk now? Do I get to talk now? Is this when I talk? Where's my cue? Where's my 3, 2, 1? You're on. You used to do that. And you used to have funny stuff. You used to have funny things going on. What kind of radio show is this?
Hi, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Show. It's what is today? Wednesday, the 18th of August. Augustus Caesar, the 18th of August, 2010. This is a live show right now. And if you're listening now, you're listening live. We weren't on yesterday. We went to go scope. I don't even know how I can explain this without giving up intel. A bunch of us went to scout something that we needed to look at as a possible secondary location, and so we didn't do it on the way up there. Okay, I could make up some story and say that we got back at the wrong time. Truth was, I got car sick. I got car sick when I came back. I had a migraine and a tum-tum ache, so I went and laid down, and when I woke up, it was like 6 o'clock. I didn't even take anything. It's just a bunch of us as a group, as a body, went over to look at some property is what we did. Nice little location. I don't want to give out the location because we always, you know, we need to have a backup. And I had a great time. I mean, you know, just it was a good day. Except for the... I can't sit in the back seat of anything. I have to be driving. Or, you know, it has to be a straight road. A winding mountain road. See there, I gave out a little intel. It's in the mountains. Well, yeah, we live in the mountains. And so I got sick, and I had a bunch of stuff to talk about. I just couldn't seem to get stabilized. You know, my head was swooning. I was swooned. And my stomach was hurting. And let's see, people are commenting on my status. But this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you Monday through Friday when we can, right here from the church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California, right smack dab in the middle in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. We're just outside Sequoia National Park. The things that I say here are not necessarily the views of the church at Cahuilla, or the pastor, or its followers, or the janitor, or the guy who mows the lawn. But a lot of the stuff is compounded on the teachings that are here at the Church of Cahuilla. Well, I am one of the guys that mows the lawn, so are you. We try to share with you the Christian militant worldview, which offends everybody. Oh, it just offends people like you wouldn't believe. I get about 100 emails a day, about 200 contacts a day. And now I'm getting like... Now I'm getting all kinds of additional stuff. People are listening that don't want to hear the message. And then they're emailing me and complaining and calling us everything from heretics to pagans to cults to anti-Americans. So we'll see what we can do. I don't argue with these guys right now, and those of you that are Facebook fans of the show, which is probably a big bulk of you, probably several hundred people that are listeners of the show are on Facebook, and they listen to the show. They don't always listen to it live, I understand that. A lot of places, it's especially here on the West Coast, it's just too soon. But we've got some listeners in the Midwest. Is that, you know, not the Mideast, the Midwest. Is it the Midwest? The Middle East? Where is that? Ohio. It's Ohio. And those areas out there, St. Louis, Missouri is listening. But they can hear it now, and they can hear the replays. But they send me a lot of stuff through Facebook, and I get it. But I've got this guy that's just been railing on me all day. And usually after about the first or second, you know, back and forth, it turns to, you know, vulgarisms, insults. What's the word? Ad hominem attacks. These guys just have no depth, no concept. They don't grasp the Christian militant worldview. And you know why? And I'm sorry, because maybe it's not for everyone. There are sheep in the world. There are people that need to be slaughtered and need to have boots on their neck. And you guys just volunteer to do it. I'm sorry, those of you that don't get this message. Those of you that don't understand the biblical doctrine of resistance. I'm not saying rebellion, because being a rebel is of witchcraft, but to resist tyranny. And if I can't get you to even go read something I send you, or at least acknowledge that you may not be the end-all in Christian doctrine because you've been going to Calvary Chapel your whole life, then you, sir or ma'am, are a waste of my time. I do not follow after a fool in his folly, lest he believe himself to be wise. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to cast pearls before swine anymore. And so the new listeners that we have, that's great. But don't listen just to look for nuggets of things you can trip me up on or argue with me. I misspeak. I'm not a professional speaker. I mean, this is what I do as a hobby. I don't get paid to do this. If you catch me in some doctrinal thing that's wrong, that's fine. But don't plant your flag on it and discredit the entire message of the show. And those of you that, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see I put a thing up there like, what's with all the idiots or something like that. And then I link to a thread that I've been having with this moron all day. I mean, he does everything to threaten my manhood, threaten the cause, challenges me to come out to New Jersey for a fist fight. One problem I have, and to my friends and listeners that are in New Jersey that get it, this isn't meant for you, but the overall mentality of large city, East Coast, metropolis type people who call themselves Republicans or Patriots, I have little use for you. I do. Now, those of you that stand out and understand it and get it, you're not included in this. But you're just a waste of flesh. And I hate, you know, coming from a Christian, I'm not supposed to talk like that. Well, I am. You've made your bed, you're going to lay in it. And, you know, I had some guy, I'm out protesting the mosque today, and you're doing nothing. You're just sitting out there in California doing nothing, and I'm out here, and I'm protesting the mosque. Well, good for you. Where were you in 1980? Where were you in 1990? You know, what's going to happen once you win this battle with the mosque there in New York, which I agree, it shouldn't be there. Where are you going to be? You're going to go right back to your nice little trough of government assistance. And, you know, this guy's a government contractor. He says he doesn't survive, you know, he doesn't live off the government, but he's a government contractor. Does some kind of wiring or something, and he was all bragging about it. And the first time anybody gives you their laurels in like the first 10 minutes of a conversation, you know they're a moron.
Yeah, well, I made six figures last year. I got two college degrees. And I'm just great. I did every job you can imagine. Whatever you did, I did better than you. It's not worth it.
Remember, people ask, well, how do you know when you're talking to an idiot and when to stop? When they start doing that kind of stuff, just walk away. It's not bearing any fruit. So, what do I got here? I don't understand this. I'm on Facebook. It says there's a message. I see. It is St. Louis. And hail Christ to you too, brother. Thanks, Brian, for listening. I'm glad you got in. There was a little confusion. Brian was trying, I think it was Brian, was saying, somebody said they were trying to get in, and they thought that you broadcast charge to listen. They don't charge you to listen. Of course, this isn't going to be any good for people that aren't listening. They charge you to broadcast, but you can get a free membership just to listen. So spread that around to your friends that are going, I ain't listening to that Dutch Jones. They wanted me to pay $17.50 a month. No, that $17.50 a month is so you can start your own radio station, which I encourage you to do. I heavily encourage you to do. I get all kinds of emails from people asking me, hey, can you help me with this? I want to start a radio station. I want to start this. I want to do that. Yeah, I'll give you all the information you need. And if you're nearby and you're willing to feed me and my son, we'll come over and help you set it up. That's all we'll do. You know, eventually we want to get into selling the transmitters and stuff. But anyway, you don't have to pay to listen. You don't have to pay to listen. So welcome, Brian. I don't know if that was you, Brian. I got a bunch of emails today. And we were out today. We were down in the city dwelling around. I thank the Lord for blinding our enemies. No highway patrolman pulled us over and shook us down for fundage or anything like that. We had a good day just out in the little city of Visalia. It's a beautiful little city. We were walking around downtown down there. Although I was surprised at the number of homeless. Now, our studio audience, is this always been this way? Is Visalia always had that large number of greasy white guys walking around?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of weird. I didn't realize it was always that bad. I mean, I don't do a lot of business outside. I go to the grocery store where I once a month, get our supplies and come back, you know. But I was amazed just the number of homeless people in a little community like Visalia.
You could tell.
Yeah.
were trying to make things work.
Yeah, there were a few. Yeah, there's probably a lot more of working homeless now.
Yes.
Because of the economy the way it is. And I was told that I need another recommendation, because we're working on some kind of project here. I won't go into it. But over by the Walmart, they say a lot of folks hang out over there because there's another mission over there. So the person we're looking for may be there. But I'm seeing more and more, you know, homeless vet, help me out, we'll work for food kind of thing. I'm not seeing the day laborers anymore. I don't know if the economy is so bad here in Central California now that people aren't. I'm not seeing the Mexicans hanging out.
You can't do that in Visalia.
Yeah, Visalia is just something maybe they've never done.
Uh-huh.
But like, I've gone to the Home Depot, the Lowe's, and I do not see the day laborers there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because the population just won't tolerate it here. A member of our studio audience was born and grew up here, right? You're 100% local girl.
I know those streets very.
So it was just neat to walk around down there. But other than the homeless guys at the bus station and stuff, but downtown Visalia is beautiful. It has that old hometown feeling. And anyone who's ever seen that, those Christians out there that follow Christian cinema that watch Time Changers, a bulk of it was filmed in Visalia. That's one of our picks of the month last month or this month, Time Changers, if you want to watch it. It's a nice little Christian movie. Not a militant Christian movie, just a Christian movie. But Visalia was a great place. So all you people that I'm trying to recruit to move into this area, check out Visalia. Go online. There's jobs there. I don't know about a whole lot. Beautiful little community. The downtown is just great. Reminds me of Colorado and the Boulder Mall. I know People's Republic of Boulder, but Fort Collins Mall, that kind of stuff. Really nice area down there. There was something else I was going to tap into that I forgot I was going to do. Later on, we're going to talk about, we've got a lot of listener-submitted topics today. I think more so than ever. I don't know if it was because Monday I spent an hour and a half on salt, talking about the uses of salt, but people say, here, you need some ideas? Enough with the salt already. So we got a lot of good stuff. There's some news articles that we were going to talk about. Let me go back to my Facebook. What I do is I load all my stuff up on Facebook, and that way it's easier for me to do the links to the articles. I've got, Jason, who's listening from, I'm not sure where Jason's listening from. He sent me a thing here on frequently asked questions, how to flex your rights during a police encounter. And it's from flexyourrights.org, so you might want to check that out while you're cruising, flexyourrights.org. We're going to talk about that later. I threw up a local article about a cop who's had three complaints against him for misuse of force. And finally, they finally fired him. But you listen to what it took, and we'll get into this article later. His wife, who was a dispatcher, he went into the dispatch office in uniform and beat up his wife on duty. And they finally fired this butt clown. And we're going to talk about that. Even though it's a local story, it's things that you need to know about. I love police brutality. In my anti-sodomite realm here, I got something funny. Dr. Faggotstein, you know who I'm talking about, Barney Franks, finally wants to kill the monster he helped create. He wants to get rid of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He's now saying they need to disband Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac after he and his legislation, he and his cronies raped it of all its money. Now he wants to get rid of it and start another one. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I don't like to get into political stuff, but I just think it's funny when they do things like that, when they go out of their way just so blatantly hypocritical. He was defending it, was putting legislation through that made Fannie Mae and everything, created the housing destruction crisis, and now he's saying, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that. And then I've got another story, and if I get to it, I hope we do. A Southwest Airlines flight attendant saw a woman slap her, 1-year-old child across the face for making too much noise. Don't know how bad the slap was, but then she took the child away from the mother, and then when they landed, they called the police, and the child was later returned, but the flight attendant was not charged with any kind of kidnapping or anything. Now, I don't know what the authority of flight attendants are under all the Patriot Act and everything. But interesting story. We'll talk a little bit about spanking your kids. Maybe we'll do that when we're on Liberty Tree Radio. How things like that happen, your horror stories. I'll relay to you some really fun stories I've had. On both sides of that, I have intervened when somebody was wailing on their kid in public. I think you're going to like the take on it. And I have had people come over and get in my face, and the results were almost comical when somebody tells me not to discipline my child. So we can talk about that. I don't know what order we'll get to this in. We like to try and do stuff. I'm not in the chat room. Lou is in the chat room. I'm going to try to get in the chat room, but it seems like whenever I do that, we get dumped. We get, we get kicked off the air. So I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to try and get in there. Here we go. I'm going to type in you broadcast. We'll see what we can do. Oh, and some, I guess it was, I think it was Minnesota's GOP party put together a little video comparing the hideous hags of the Democrat Party versus the hot ladies of the Republican Party. Now, one, I don't get into either party thing, but I thought it was funny that they would do that. They showed, like, you know, Janet Reno and Hillary and a couple others, and then they showed Palin and, you know, Michelle Malkin and that kind of smelkin. And everybody's all mad and saying it was sexist, but I thought it was funny that they finally had a sense of humor to put something like that together. Now, I can't stand Republicans. And but, you know, go looking for that video. See if you can find it. GOP hot women videos. If you Google it, you'll be able to find it. Okay, here I go. I'm going to try and go into the room. I'm clicking on it, Lou. Lou, let me know if you get kicked off. Is it happening? Okay, one more button I got to click here. I got to go through like 8 buttons. Take a drink of water real quick. Maybe we'll talk about the baby spanking thing now. That's not really something we want to share with Liberty Tree Radio. You might think I'm an abuser of children if we do that, and the rest of the regular mainstream militia guys would just be like, he beats his kid, let's call CPS on. Not that they would do that. Real militia guys don't call CPS. They come over and talk to you like, hey, why are you wailing on your kids, Bubba? Oh, I better vote for myself here. I'm voting. Boom. Let's see. Oh, I got a comment here. Spreading the word in St. Louis, Dutch, 7 p.m., grab the Budweiser and throw a salute to the West and DJ's general director. Hey, thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. Brian's checking in there from St. Louis. St. Louis again. I think that was both. I think I got the same Brian on both. If you are listening on Facebook, thank you. There is a chat room, which I'm trying to get into, and I can't. If you're listening on Facebook, MySpace, ooh, there's a lot of people in the chat room. I'll have to give shouts out here in a minute. I got to stop the music from playing, though. Hopefully it won't suddenly blare. Oh, wait, let me mute this. Do-do-do. There we go. Well, I'm having some... Oh, it's going to do it anyway. It's starting to roll. Let me stop it. Come on, stop. I got Alice Cooper on my screen now. If you want to contact the show, the chat room is the easiest way to do it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can do that. Hello, Warlin. Welcome. Okay, I got to hit pause here. Okay, I'm in now. Hopefully it won't kick us off. We solved the phone problem. Lou went through and he found a connection. I just got my with the move, I lost my soldering iron, so now we can solder some stuff here tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow we'll have time to do it. But Lou fixed the phone. Let me check. Let me see here. Hey, where's the other phone? Oh, pick it up. Talk on the phone. Say something.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello. Hello? Can you hear me coming across the phone?
No.
Oh, see, it's probably not working again. But you made sure that you could hear yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm going to give out the phone number then. Get ready. Get your crayon out. Get that paper sack. Fix your headphones. They're all crooked. It looks really weird from here. There you go. Made your head look like a wedge of cheese. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. In fact, if Stacy in the other building would like to call that number so we can make sure you can hear us, I would like to test that. The email is DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. That's DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Facebook is a really fast way of doing it. You go to Facebook, look for Dutch Jones. If you're signed up, you can IM me. Stacy just posted it in there. Actually, I was asking you to actually call it, Stacy, not just post the number. Lou could have done that. But if you could call the number, make sure you hear me, and maybe give us a report on what's going on, where the air conditioning is. She's in the building with the air conditioning. We want to move the studio over there eventually. But what we need to do is we need to get that other soundboard that we found for like $100. And again, please, we need to get that soundboard so we can get away from this big, bulky, ant-infested soundboard. We can get into where the air conditioning is across the street. It's $100. I want to be able to do it within the next about 3.5 weeks. Make a donation. Say it's specifically for the soundboard. But just everybody kicks in $10. 10 people kick in $10. We call Sears, call Walmart. We have them ship it out. It's $100 for it. I think it's free shipping. Okay, we're going to do a phone test here. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm home.
What's the purpose of your call? Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you. You don't even want to talk to me. You want to talk to the listeners, huh? Yeah. Well, that's okay. We probably spent too much time together anyway. That's why you're hiding in the air conditioning, isn't it?
Now,
just so people get an insight into the high tech, you know, how we're really pushing the cutting edge of training up here and how we're dedicated to the cause, I just want you people to know, what are you watching over there, Stacy, on the video?
I'm not watching anything.
Uh-huh. What were you watching when I left?
Muppet Treasure Island.
Muppet Treasure Island, of course.
Yeah.
Great cutting edge tech, you know, training for you. You learn how to deal with pirates, so she's just relaxing over there.
Arg.
Okay, well, thank you, Stacy. See, the phone works, guys. We've proven it. You guys need to call in with your comments, dissertations, advertiser stuff. Okay, thank you, Stacy. I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay, now make me dinner. I'll be over in about an hour and a half. Oh, wait, we gotta go to church tonight. So don't make dinner. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, baby.
Great. Bye.
Okay, I'm hanging up. See, there, guys, the phone works. You guys want to call? Lou came to the rescue. He fixed the phone. So that's great. That's great. Those of you, did you take it off the website yet? Or did you do what I told you to do on the website with the you guys lost out? Yeah. Remember we had that rhino up for sale, and it was about $9,000, and we said, just make us an offer. Help our friend out. Help our neighbor out. Well, today, he sold it for $2,000. Somebody showed up with the cash, $2,000, and bought it. So those of you that were waiting, didn't want to make an offer, I was getting emails, hey, that's a great thing. When you see these things, you've got to jump on them. I told you, just make an offer. So the $6,500 to $10,000 vehicle, depending on where it Blue Book's at, actually I think it was, they had low miles, 750 miles on it. Came with all kinds of extra stuff, sold for $2,000. $2,000, the guy needed it desperately, he needed to be able to pay some bills. And, you know, it wasn't exploitative. The person went to him in earnest, said, look, this is all I got. You know, here, feed yourself. You know, keep your house going. And if anybody else wants to take advantage of that, remember, use the forum. We have a little swap meet thing set up in the forum. We're about to put a ton of Lou's old toys up there. All of his dolls, I'm sorry, action figures up there in the forum to try and sell them to you guys. We'll throw some other stuff over there. Lou did a good job with the phone. I could hear you. Oh, great. Thank you. See, Warland? Warland's giving you kudos, Lou. Good job, Lou. I sent him over here by himself. I said, fix the phone or don't come back. So he knew what he was doing, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, it's not making that popping sound. Remember how yesterday or Monday it was popping? So Lou fixed that. So, you know, there's a resource here for you guys. You need to get rid of some stuff. You want to buy some stuff, sell some stuff. Use that forum. You're going to put the forum link in there. Just go to dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, and click on the forum and you get in there. But see what you missed. Go to the page. Take a look at those great pictures that Stacy took of that rhino and know that somebody took it home for $2,000.
RhinoForSale.tk.
Yeah, RhinoForSale.tk.
Easter eggs in there.
There's Easter eggs in there?
Yeah, why didn't you buy it?
Why didn't you buy this? Lou's messing with everybody. But it was just I was trying to help you guys out, so it's too bad. That's going to be a great addition to a militia or somebody's farm or something, however it works out. Great little tool. We got to jump on these deals when they're out there. We can't hem and haw and wait and poor talk. And yeah, I wish I had $2,000. I would have, you know, I don't even have $2,000 in assets. If I'd had a yard sale and sold everything I owned, I wouldn't have been able to raise $2,000. But maybe if we sell some of Lou's dolls, I mean action figures. What are they? What are they mostly? Professional wrestling action figures? You don't remember? Your grandpa said when he brought them over, it was $14,000 worth of toys. So I'm a little interested into cracking open those big, what was it, like seven big of those Tupperware containers? The big ones, like the big multi ones that I used to bathe in as a child, those big Tupperware containers. So we're going to start going through those. The ones that, you know, we're going to donate some. We've got a pantry up here for people in need, so we'll give some of the kids that. We're going to sell some on eBay to raise money for the... Lou, what is it, Lou? What do you want to raise with the money that you sell these for? What do you want to buy when you raise some money from selling your dolls? I mean action figures.
Stuff.
You just want to buy stuff? You're not going to get some more pellet guns? You're not going to go out and get a 50 cal pellet gun? Would that be cool or what? Get yourself a big old Bowie knife?
I already have.
You have a Bowie knife? You have a Bowie knife?
7 inches.
Yeah, but that's not a Bowie knife. You want a Bowie knife, like 14-inch, you know, Gladius. Huh?
Gherkin.
You want a Gherkin. It's not a Gherkin. A Gherkin is a pickle. A Gurkha Kukuri is a knife. He wants a gherkin knife just for cutting pistols. Did you find it? Did you just catch a spider who's about to pounce on Lou?
Yeah.
That woman saved your life, Lou. You should buy her a gherkin. Yeah. Lou needs a Ruger 1022, Stacy's saying in the chat room, so that would be good. So we're going to get that stuff up. When we come back after this next break, I think maybe we'll talk about the spanking thing, you know, and I'll share with you some issues. I want to get, you know, do you spank or not spank? You spare the rod, spoil the child. I got a great, one of the listeners sent me, I'd rather go to jail for spanking my child today than for him to go to jail because I didn't spank him.
Oh.
I really like that. Lou needs to get some night vision so we can put him up on the roof at night and get that bear that's been coming around doing some bad stuff. Night vision would be good, Lou. What else should Lou buy with what he sells when he sells his childhood, his toys? What other kind of toys do you have? I mean, you don't remember any of the toys? Do you have like a sit and spin?
I don't know.
You don't know what that is? You have like a toss across? Connect four? You know, what kind of things did you play with as a kid? These are things I played. Yard darts or jarts. Remember yard jarts, darts? If we have those, we're keeping them as weapons. We'll build a trebuchet and launch them. What other kind of things do you think you should... I should get you to go get one of those boxes, drag it up here, and we'll go through it and do a live auction. Now, here we go. We got Lou's Holly Hobby Set. Strawberry shortcake, what? I wasn't there, Lou. I wish I had been, but I don't know what kind of toys you're going to have in there. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you can actually own a piece of Lou's childhood. We'll have a live auction. Maybe we'll do an extra hour. He'll autograph it. Lou will autograph it, sell it, and just know that the money he raises, he's going to buy weapons with. Is that pretty much a safe thing to say, Lou?
Yeah.
He'll buy some kind of weaponry.
Something he can kill
somebody. Something he can kill somebody with. Maybe he'll buy like some nice toys or things like that. Mr. Bunny Lambkins has entered the room. Mr. Bunny Lambkins has entered the room. We got Scotty 38 rebroadcasting us up there in upstate New York. Are you in upstate New York? I just assume that. I don't know where you are, Scotty. I mean, I know you've told us the city. We've got Olima, our team archivist. Warlin, we got a few guests. Ooh, Mr. Bunny Lambkins, USA Today. I don't know what that's on. Laptop spying. Oh, there's this sounds just like a loaded one. And we got a few guests in there. We appreciate the guests coming by. You do know that if you register, you can chat. I got Facebook messages coming in. Let's go over there. It's probably, here we go. Somebody shared a link on my wall. Let's see. No charges in Philadelphia school laptop spying case. Thank you, Jason. I'll take a look at that. That's always good to see. Okay, we're going to come back after the break and talk about pounding on your kids. Is it right or wrong? How do you know when you've gone too far? What do you do when somebody sticks their nose in? I think this should get people going. We'll give you the phone number when we come back. I'm Dutch Jones. Lou's playing the music. We'll be right back.
Politics and cowardly blocking. We hadn't any powder, and we hadn't any shot. We hadn't any money to buy what we ain't got. So we rode our worn-out horses, and we ate on plain cornmeal. And we licked them where we caught them, with southern guts and steel. Well, we sunk the ship at Sumter, and we broke her plumb in two. And we showed them bully Yankees just what we aim to do. At a little creek called Bull Run, we took the starry rag to wipe our horses down with, and I ain't here to brag. Well, there aren't as many left of us as rode out at the start. And then there are the weary, weak, and body sad of heart. We fought a fight to tell about, and I am here to say, I'd climb my horse and follow Marsh to hell come any day.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention. The government is the problem. An emergency. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You're not going to play anything?
No.
All this opportunity to play something funny, Lou?
I'm okay.
Your friend's going to kick you off. Just to play something funny? Oh, you mean the computer won't have enough? Well, here, I'll do something funny. Somebody let a duck in here. Yeah, knee. Well, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It is August 18th, 2010. We are live, coming to you from the Commonwealth of Kauai, California. We welcome everybody who's in the chat room, everybody who's listening on Facebook. We welcome everybody who's on MySpace and anywhere else. This is being redistributed. CB Channel 2 up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. I still, that doesn't mean anything to me. I didn't know Finger Lakes. Sorry, Scotty. I don't know. Is that like Buffalo, New York? Finger Lakes, is that like Great Lakes? See, I don't know. I'm an idiot. I'm geographically inept when it comes to New York. I can point to it on a map, but I don't know much about it. You know, I know it's a big and diverse state, that it's not all just city and morons, that it's, you know, there's some woods and mountains and places to go hunting. I know that. Let's see here. I told you when I come back, we were going to talk about some child spanking stuff. Yep, some corporal punishment, some sparing the rod, or not sparing the rod, using the rod, not spoiling the child. Here's a story here from Associated Press. It was written by Leanne Itali and Sue Major Holmes, Associated Press writers, and it was posted about an hour and 28 minutes ago, according to the link here that I'm on. Baby slapping aboard flight sets off debate. Albuquerque, New Mexico is the dateline. America's fastest or latest folk hero. Wow, this sounds really weird in my headphones. America's latest folk hero flight attendant may be one of a Southwest Airlines employee who took a 13-month-old baby from her mother after the woman slapped the crying child for kicking her. See, they put some more into this than the original article. So the baby kicked the mom, and the mom slapped the baby. The flight attendant's actions, however, set off an intense debate. When and how should bystanders intervene? We live in such a mind-your-own-business-and-I'll-sue-you-for-getting-involved society that I feel we're afraid to stand up for something for the right thing. Now said Jen Reynolds, 38, a stay-at-home mom to 15-year-old and 16-month-old boy in Sandwich, Illinois. Sandwich? Weird name there. We don't want to be yelled at or told to butt out, she said. The flight attendant is definitely my hero. Why are they interviewing some soccer mom on this? Parents on both sides of the corporal punishment debate agreed that hitting a baby that young was wrong, but also empathized with the mother, saying they've been exactly where she found herself on Monday on a Dallas to Seattle flight stressed and strapped in an airplane with virtually no way to distract or console a child. Well, that's bad prior planning. I flew to Hawaii with about a 4-month-old baby, and my daughter made no noise. The only time anybody knew she was there is when I went to change her diaper and the cabin suddenly went, woo! But they were like, who did that? They didn't even know there was a baby with me because we boarded early. Because, you know, they let the people that need assistance to board early. And they never made one peep flying to Hawaii from LAX because I brought everything I could possibly imagine in a tactical vest. Basically, you know, it was a phototog vest that I have. And I loaded up with all kinds of gear, everything that would keep that baby quiet and everything she could possibly need. I, of course, was miserable. My biggest question is, why didn't anybody else say anything before it got to the point that the baby was being slapped? Well, how do you even know? You're in an airplane. You can't see one row in front of you. How do you know what's going on? Now, the federal laws that give crew members broader power to ensure safety can be invoked in situations like the one that unfolded on the flight, said Jerry Stearns, a San Francisco attorney specializing in aviation cases. But these rules don't allow non-airline employees to intervene. See, they're better than you. Because they've gone to flight attendant school, they now can be little tyrants over you. Isn't that ridiculous? Acts of aggression against children in public places are often witnessed but frequently ignored, said Kristen Jameson, a spokeswoman for Washington State's Blue Ribbon Anti-Abuse Commission called the Council of Children and Families. Oh, that sounds like a meddlesome, in-your-face kind of group, doesn't it? Simply put, most people don't know what to do, she said. This is one of those most helpless feelings, both for the child and the witness, that you can possibly imagine. Now, flight attendant Beverly, I'll steal your kid, McCurley, told officers she saw the mother hit the child in the face with her open hand while the father yelled at the mother to stop screaming at the girl. She noted the girl had a black eye. See, they keep adding more to it as we go here. The original article did not say there was a black eye involved. The parent said the bruise was from a dog bite. Wow! These are sounding like Class A parents. McCurley described the mother as agitated. She said the woman also slapped the baby on the legs and told the children to shut up. The mother later told police she popped the tire tot when the child kicked her because when she's screaming, she can't hear me. Say no. That's the only way I can get her to stop. Wow. You know, this story is starting to turn kind of ugly, but we're still going to talk about corporal punishment. Now, the flight attendant says she took the baby and walked to the rear of the plane. She said the father came back, took the child, and stood there with her until she fell asleep. The father told McCurley the parents had several arguments about the mother hitting the child. What a milquetoast father. You know, kind of weird here. This is going to open up a whole great big discussion for me right now because this is dealing with a lot of stuff that I'm going to share with you guys. I want to see where it goes. Details about how McCurley took the child from the parent weren't immediately available. The father told police the mother would occasionally pop the child to stop her kicking and screaming, but that the baby had never been hit in the face. The parents weren't identified because no charges were planned. On the request of the airline, authorities met the parents when the flight landed in the Albuquerque airport. A scheduled stop. Paramedics checked out the child, and the family boarded another flight to continue their trip. Brad Hawkins, a Southwest spokesman, could not provide details about training given to crew members to deal with such situations. He told them they were empowered to simply do the right thing and to maintain the security and the comfort of all customers. Wow. Pretty broad directive there, isn't it? Research on corporal punishment used on children shows there's no value in hitting babies who's too young to understand right from wrong, said Kara Gardenschwartz, a Beverly Hills, California clinical psychologist specializing in early childhood trauma. She's mom to a 7-year-old. If I were in that situation, I would have a serious, serious talk with the mother, she said. Gardenschwartz added that she hoped McCurley approached the mother with kindness, offering assistance rather than making a demand to turn over the baby. That's the best approach to take, she said. If the mom is so frustrated, she might be relieved to have someone help her. Yeah. Now, Jackie Lantry of Rehoboth, Massachusetts, mother of four, they keep asking all these other people what they would do. The key point here is, you know, and this can go a couple different ways. To me, this is over-monitoring of parents. Giving flight attendants the authority to remove your child. Now, if someone's strangling their kid, you know, pulling a Bart Simpson, Homer Simpson thing, you intervene. But taking a kid away like that, by whose authority do they do that? Are they given this authority? There's something wrong there if that's the way it's going to be. Now, we all, I don't know anyone who legitimately thinks that just letting their kids run rampant is the way to do things. I don't personally know them, but I see these people every day. You go to Walmart, you go to, you know, those of you go, why do you go to Walmart, Dutch? You go to these places and you see people just letting their kids just run like savages. Savages over everything. They're tearing packages up. They're rude in restaurants. The kids are flinging stuff. And they just stand there in line while their kids are just like orbiting around them, creating havoc. These people need to spank their kids. These people need to be spanked themselves. And, you know, I'll say things, you know, out loud like, hey, somebody needs to control these kids. And then they, you know, they bring them in under their wing and stuff like that. But usually it goes unavoided, you know, unanswered, and they just let their kids do whatever they want. Now, I've been on both ends of this. I was in a bicycle shop somewhere in the Los Angeles area. I don't remember exactly where it was, looking at bicycles with a friend of mine. And my daughter, who was probably 2.5, maybe 3 at the time, she was wearing a diaper. So she kept picking up pigeon feathers that were blown in the front door and putting them in her mouth. So I said, okay, you need to stop doing that. And she did it the third time. So I swatted her on the bum. On the bum. And I think I swatted her hand, too. And out of nowhere, I didn't even notice her there before, comes this hippie lady in the sundress, the big floppy hat. And she got in my face, this older woman, you know, I don't know how many miles she had on her, but she had a few years. And she got in my face, she's like, don't you touch that child. And started to reach for my baby, who was on the floor. And I put my daughter behind me. My friends smiled because they knew what was about to happen. Because they know, one, my view on child rearing. Two, my view on hippies in general. And three, anyone that gets in my business and my family when I'm in the right is going to get both barrels. And I did. I everything short of actually throwing her into the street and watching her get hit by a bus, I was in her face. I used all my body language. I used every bit of my 280 pounds at the time. I was a big, fat guy. And I, you know, I just tore into her. Called her every name in the book, you know, legal, you know, that wasn't vile, you know, pot smoking, tree hugging, you know, long ponytail, good time, banana smoking, you know, the whole thing, and told her that she had no right to intervene with my children, she had no idea what she was talking about, and that if she touched my child, she would basically pull back a broken hand. Well, she got all upset. People were like looking at me because I was like a raving lunatic in this bike store. But when she walked out, they all kind of came over and started, hey, that was great. That was wonderful. You know, we're sick of these people. Well, about 10 minutes later, in comes an LAPD motorcycle cop. Big, tall black dude, about 6'5", 220, 230, you know, but he's a solid guy. He comes in and starts acting like he's looking at bikes. He's walking around looking at bikes, and Anthony, my daughter, she's pointing at him. And I go, yeah, I go, go over and talk to him. So she goes over, and she's like waving at him, and he gives her a little sticker, the badge sticker. And I said, I know why you're here. And he kind of looks at me and goes, did you just spank your child? I go, yeah. He goes, did you threaten to throw a hippie in the street? I go, yeah, I did. And we started talking, and he's looking around, and I explained it to him. And I said, look, here's the deal. I said, you think you're going to come in here all scary and thuggery? It's not going to happen. And he apologized to me. And he says, okay. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, he goes, I hit my kids, you know, when they do bad stuff, and went out. I wish the hippie lady had come back. She was probably sitting at a cafe somewhere watching, expecting to see me get dragged out in cuffs. But I would have loved to have had that happen. And, to see her face when I walked out there, and it was like no big deal. But she was hiding from me. And I've had people in grocery stores, you know, and stuff say, hey, aren't you a little harsh on your kids? I said, not as harsh as I'm going to be on your face if you don't leave. And they're just like, ah! But on the other side of it, when I was a teenager, 16, maybe 17, it was before I went in the Army, I worked in Fort Collins, Colorado, in a little park where they had a train that rode around the park and kids could ride it, and it was a concessionaire, so I didn't work for the city or anything, and I was like engineer, DJ, you know, I had the little hat and the overalls and, you know, punch people's tickets. Well, we had a lot of Arabs that lived in Fort Collins, Colorado, because it's an agricultural college. They would come to the park and, you know, on the weekends, and they'd have their kids there, and the kids and the boys were allowed to ride the train. The boys were allowed to ride the train. Well, I didn't like this, and I had a very vague understanding of Islamofascism and all that kind of stuff at the time. So I offered the little girls to ride for free because it was $1 a ride. So I said, hey, you know, you guys spend a lot of money here. You come every weekend. I'll let the girls ride for free. I don't remember exactly. Maybe I thought they didn't have the money and they were letting the boys do it. Well, all these little girls got on there. Remember this little redheaded girl, just beautiful as can be. That's the other thing. These Arab men would marry American women and then, Shariaize them and make them wear the burqas and everything. So this little girl was obviously, you know, Caucasian and Middle Eastern. Well, I put her up front, and this father just comes unglued, comes over, grabs her by the hair, pulls her off the train, and starts beating her. Well, I'm like 16 and a half, 17, but I'm in my peak at this time. I was an athlete, and I got off and just cleaned this guy's clock. I knocked him down on the ground and just started wailing on him and told somebody to call 911. Well, the cops came. First, they thought I was a maniac beating up on some guy, but then witnesses that weren't with the Arab faction there said, no, this guy was punching and kicking his daughter, a little 9-year-old girl, we found out later. The police just let it go. They were too afraid of racism, I think, to do anything about it, but I wailed on this dude, and I'm glad I did. And unfortunately, the little girl, you know, after that, she was never allowed to leave the picnic table and cross the street, and I felt bad about it, but I looked for that guy, and I never thought if I ever got a chance I was going to do more, but it's just sad that we live in a world like that, that it's the extremes of the pendulum like that, that there isn't common sense in. Now, I don't know if you guys want to continue to talk about this. I'm looking in the chat room. People are talking about some other stuff there, but it's just strange to me that anybody would not swat their kids. And we all know those people. We work with those people that were not swatted as kids, huh? You see them all over the place. It's catching, you know. I got swatted in school. Every one time I got in trouble for mooning people on a bus, and I got swatted. And I laughed at the principal because I'm like, man, my mom hits harder than that. And it was with a big paddle, you know, with the holes in it. And
I didn't.
Yeah, I had a butt callus for my dad wailing on me. I was always in trouble as a kid. I got my butt kicked. But I deserved it. It was very seldom. I can't think of more than maybe once that I got beat for something I didn't do. But when you consider all the other stuff that I did do that I didn't get caught for, I just figured it was God's way of equalizing the universe. And I'm completely happy with that. You know, and Lou's got marks all over him from the bamboo stick that I beat him with, but that's training. That's a little bit different. I wasn't around when he was littler. And he was a good kid, you know, from what everybody tells me. He didn't need a lot of spankings. I mean, you didn't have him running around sticking matches into wall sockets and things like that. But some kids, they need it. Our prisons are full of kids that probably weren't spanked or were beaten too harshly.
Yeah.
There's a realism to it. But I just can't imagine a flight attendant taking my kid away from me. I'd be in jail. One, she'd be knocked out. And two, they'd be looking for an airport to land in so the SWAT team could come on to get me. Nobody's taking my kids away from me. And it's just bizarre that we live in a society where that's the answer. You know, and we don't know the whole story on this, and maybe I'm speaking too soon. It's even, the article changed. It's kind of weird. I linked up to it about an hour and a half ago, and it changed. They added more details as the things came out. That's the way Yahoo does it. They keep the same URL link, and it's a different story. Sometimes it's a completely different story. But it's interesting. So anyway, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. What's this? I remember they're talking about in there that Oklahoma banned militias. We need a link for that. I had heard that they were working on doing that, but we need to. Mr. Bunny Lamkins? Lamakins? Lamakins? Mr. Bunny Lamakins? That's an interesting name. We need to know. We need to get our buddy Chuck to chime in. I know he listens later. Maybe he can chime in tomorrow, but I don't know what is going on with the Oklahoma thing. Let me go here. Oh, I got the more comments here. People are IMing me about things that I'm not even talking about. What does that tell you? What's a radio show host to do? I'm getting more hate mail from this idiot. Let's see if he's listening. This guy here on Facebook, it just keeps sending me hate mail. I'm not going to read it on there because every other word's like a vial. Let's see here. Let's see here. Oh, he's getting really mad. He can't even spell. Let's see. I'm going to just totally insult him. Now he's getting all, you know, what's this word? The email I'm getting.
Is he listening to the show?
I don't know if he's listening. Oh, yeah, this is funny. Maybe I'll post this. It's doing it in a thread. He just keeps doing stuff in a thread. I'll see if you guys, I don't know if you guys, any of you are Facebook people, you can see what he's writing. It's hilarious. Let me do here. Let me move this over here. Yeah, I like that post there for Activist Post, America's Becoming a Third World. We put that one up the other day. I think maybe we'll talk about that today, too. It's kind of a free-form day. Oh, actually, all my stuff is free-form. Actually, did we talk about this on the air? Did we talk about the America's becoming a third world on the air? I can't remember because that was a good article, guys. Thanks for reposting that. Sorry, the page we're looking for, it does not exist anymore. It's saying the link does not exist to that America's becoming a third world nation.
Did you copy and paste it or just click it?
I copied it. Oh, you want me to copy and paste it?
Yeah, because I did that.
Okay, let me try that. We're working here. So, right click. No, I'm not going to make you go to Facebook. It's just funny. Go over there and give this guy some hate that I posted that thread to.
I am.
Yeah, Lou can go and just post stuff on it. Just keep asking, what are you, a fag? Why are you writing all this faggot stuff on here? What is wrong with you? I don't know if you can. I don't know if you have to be friends with the guy who started the thread or what. I don't know how Facebook works. It's really sad.
I didn't mean a gay fag.
Yeah, not a gay fag, but yeah, I know. Let's see, Control V. Okay, now I'm trying here. I'm trying to get to this America's becoming. Now it still won't let me in there, Lou. Will not let me into America's a third world. Man, that was a bad spasm. That was a weird one. Here we go. Boy, my heart is just not in this today.
Try that one that I just posted.
Try the one that somebody just posted now. This one?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see here. Lou's working with me here, folks. He's helping me. Okay, so then I go up here and I control V it. Let's do this. Oh, it's going to take me away from this page. Let me stop it. Nah, dang it. It just took me out of the chat room. I'll get back in there. I'll just go back when I have to. Yes, 10 signs the third world. We'll talk about this. Maybe I'm not feeding you guys the kind of info you want. 10 signs the U.S. is becoming a third world country. The United States, by every measure, is hanging on by a thread to its first world status. Saddled by debt, engaged in wars on multiple fronts, with a rising police state at home, declining economic productivity, and wild currency fluctuations all threaten America's future. And what you got to realize, they just came out some ranking system where the greatest places to live in America are. Now, we haven't been in the top 5 for a long time, but we're not even in the top 10 now. We're number 11. Number 1 was Switzerland, which I can see why. And then the rest were like Scandinavian states, you know, island nations, that kind of stuff. But America has actually fallen to number 11 for great places to live. Now, the general designation of the ranking system for world status dates back to about the 1950s and have included countries at various stages of economic development. Since the Cold War, the definition has come to be synonymous with repressive countries where a wealthy class of ruling elites, segmented society, will, with the haves and the have-nots, many times capitalizing on the conditions that follow an economic crisis or war. That's where you get into third world status. Now, with much of the world still mired in poverty, the reduced cost of innovative tools such as computing and connectivity ironically puts traditional third world countries at the forefront of new lean and mean economies that are based in ideas of empowerment for the disenfranchised. Okay, so you get that. Third world's moving up because we're dumping all of our technology on them, all this money that is changing hands, the redistribution of wealth. Third world countries are moving up. Well, guess what? We're moving down. Now, there have been riots in cities across America lately looking for homes. Rising unemployment and poverty is the number one reason why America is going to become a third world nation. Unemployment numbers, food stamps, home foreclosures, they continue to reach new record highs. Now, the ugly reality of those numbers was recently displayed when 30,000 people showed up to apply for Section 8 housing in East Point, Georgia. There were only 455 homes available. 30,000 people showed up for 455 homes. Now, let's say a lot of those were kids dragging along. Let's say the real number was 10,000. You know, people bringing the little chitlins along and all that kind of stuff, the kidlets, the carpet commandos. So let's say 10,000 people showed up for 455 family vouchers to get a home. Fights broke out. People were fainting from the heat while in line. Riot police showed up to handle the anger of the poor. Remember, this started happening during the inoculations, too, because people were panicked into going and get inoculations. We're going to see more of this. We're going to see food riots. We're going to see housing riots. We're going to see job riots.
They're saying the fan's picking up.
They're saying the fan's picking up. Let me turn this one down. Turn this one down. How's that? Should I get rid of the fan a little bit there? Economic dependence. The United States finished 2009 with a debt based to gross to domestic product ratio of 85%. Now, according to the International Monetary Fund, Zionistic New World Order guys, the current trend projects that the United States to finish 2010 at 94% and 2011 at 98%. So what that means is we'll be owing just as much as we're creating in wealth. The 90% level has become the IMF's make-or-break point for countries hoping to grow their way out of debt. At the movement, if the government debt load climbs over 90% of the gross domestic product, economic growth slows so much that growth is no longer a viable solution for reducing the debt. And the IMF insists on austerity measures. Austerity measures. I love that. That just sounds so ominous. Suppressing this debt threshold has also caused China's lead credit rating agency to cut America's credit rating. So we are spending more than we're making. We're spending more than we're bringing in. And once we cross that 90% threshold, and last year we were at, what did it say? 80-some percent. Oh, no, I can't find it. We were at 85%. Once we pass 90%, it's kind of a tipping point. We don't come back. And so we're heading for third world status. I don't know if the chat room's liking this or not, but we're going to continue on with it. Declining civil rights is number three. Everyday freedoms are often a casualty of a society in collapse. As the anger over the populace mounts in response to declining economic conditions and political corruption, indicator there, the government counters by increasing draconian measures that restrict the political rights and civil liberties of its citizens. Free speech zones, closed meetings in local venues. What's going on? Like, you're smiling. I don't like it when you smile. Violation of the Brown Act in city council and board of supervisors meetings. America is becoming a country like China, which has one of the lowest scores according to the Freedom House. In America, private discussions and movements are monitored. Free speech is corralled. The freedom to assemble to protest is by government decree and independent thought that questioning the political system is increasingly looked upon with suspicion. How many people have ever had to go get a permit to assemble? If the people you're protesting are the ones that you have to get the authority from to assemble against, it's too late, people.
Yeah.
It's too late. Why don't more people get this? I know you and I get it, those of us sitting around the campfire. Idiots like the guy who keeps sending me hate mail, they don't get it. The majority of the people don't get it. It's the reverse of that 90% thing. 90% of the people just don't get it. They don't see this around us. They keep saying, oh, we live in a free nation. It's the greatest nation. I love this. Sure, we may have our problems, but I'd rather live here than anywhere else. I don't know. Switzerland's looking pretty nice right now with their shooting ranges. Automatic weapons are mandatory. Wow, that went. We're going to come back and talk more about this after the break. Thanks for feeding it to me. I never know what you guys want to talk about. So we'll talk about it when we come back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. When we come back, Liberty Tree Radio will be sending us out, too.
About some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedom and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolize her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon her glory, it's hard to fight that feelings of shame. Worked up with lying politicians and greedy corporations.
corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way. And we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. And we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the jazz stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings and welcome. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We are live. It is August 18th, 2010. I gotta move my microphone. We're getting some complaints about the sound of the fan in the background. We equalized our output, and I think it makes the fan come in better. So let me know how that sounds, guys. I did see your comments, just there was nothing I could do till the break. So hopefully we got rid of that fan in the back. It's like 105,000 degrees in here today, so we needed to put some fans in. Although Lou doesn't have his fan. Sorry, Lou. It does pick up more. But we are the Dutch Jones radio program. I am Dutch Jones. Lewis Engineer is over there. He gets us on the air. The phone does work today. We have tested it. We've had people call in. Thank you. We were not on the air yesterday. I could come up with some great bear fighting, mountain lion, attack story, but the truth was I got car sick going to look at some property up in the mountains, and I just couldn't get on the air. I had a migraine and an upset stomach. I'm a lightweight, guys. I keep telling you guys, I preach the stuff. I try to do the best I can. I'm no Rambo, as somebody keeps sending me in hate mail. Like, oh, you think you're Rambo? No, I don't. What? Oh, the phone number. I should give it out? You think? Okay, Lou. Lou's reminded me to give out the phone number. It is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. You can also reach me on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and you ask to be my friend and you ask nicely and send me some presents, I'll let you be my friend. But you can IM me there. I'm getting probably more stuff through Facebook than I am through the chat room, and I got to keep them both open, back and forth, back and forth. A couple things happened on the website, DutchJones.tk. You guys missed it. We were trying to sell that rhino for a guy, a friend of the show, a neighbor, a patriot who was in need, and we were lowering the price. People kept saying it was too much, and but we also had OBO. It doesn't mean Obama's body odor. OBO, Obama's body odor. Yeah, I guess it does mean that. Nobody was making offers. Finally, the first guy who showed up with $2,000 cash, he sold it. So that rhino is gone. So that's changed on the page. You guys missed it. So, you know, I had a lot of people sending me emails. Oh, that's really good, but I can't afford the asking price. I'm like, just make an offer. The art of barter is almost gone in America. You try to buy stuff. I don't know if it's just because, you know, people don't have any money. I have no money. But it's kind of weird. People are like, well, what do you want to sell it for? I don't know. What do you think it's worth? I don't know. What do you want to sell it for? And they'll go back and forth like that for weeks and then never sell anything. But the first guy who showed up with, you know, 200 soft Washingtons and waved them, the guy needed the money, you know, and it wasn't a ripoff. I mean, you know, maybe he was asking a little much. I don't know. I don't know how much those things are worth. But pay attention to the website. Go into the forum. Use the barter part there in the forum. We're going to be putting a bunch of action figures up for sale. He's going to go through his stuff. He wants to raise some money to buy a 1022, some night vision, and one of those Rambo survival knives. Is that what you want, Lou? No, that's not what you want. But you can, we'll start putting those in there. He's going to try and raise some money. Weed eating time is over. There's not a whole lot of work around here. So he's going to start liquidating his assets. He's got a lot of WWF stuff and things like that. We'll be good there. Well, we've had an interesting first hour. We've talked everything about spanking your kids in public to kidnapping flight attendants. We started talking about how America is becoming a third world nation. We're going to continue with that in a minute. Never hit a child in the head. Yeah. What did I say? Pop somebody in the mouth? Did I say that? Did I say we should pop somebody in the mouth?
In the ears.
Huh?
In the ears.
In the ears. Earbox them. Until they're teens. Never wail on them until they're teens. Well, Lou's always attacking me with training knives and shivs. We're getting really good at making shivs. We have to count the spoons at night now. Because it's like, oh, where's the spoon? And then all of a sudden, you know, we'll roust his room when we send him away to go water some plants or something. And we'll find shivs hidden in the bed rails and little things he's fashioned. We don't have. Oh, that's right. He's sleeping on a box mattress on the floor in the corner, and he uses old Purina Monkey Chow bags for blankets. But it's toughening him up. We're toughening him up. That's what he does. But yeah, we don't. I don't have to hit Lou. Lou's a good kid. Lou, he may forget, but he always obeys. You know, he may forget to do something, but he intends to do it well. So I've never had to slap him on the back of the head, except when we're training, and you know I've got him in a submission hold, and I got to check him to make sure he's still alive. I'll slap him around a little bit to make sure there's some reblush there. The blood will get back into the skin. Make sure I haven't completely choked him out. Which is funny because right now I'm sitting here with a left shoulder that was, it was like 4 weeks ago. He just railed on my left elbow and shoulder and it still hurts. Revenge is mine, Lewis. Revenge will be mine. I think we were doing some AMA stuff. He's trying to lock it out. I don't remember what you were doing. The American Motorcycle Association? MMA? I don't know all that stuff. And he did something to this arm and it just hurts. So I'm going to get you back. Wiffle bats at 20 paces. You and me. You and me. Yeah, he'll disarm me. Remote control shock collar would be good. So we talked about discipline. We talked about that kind of stuff. We talked about our soundboard, guys. We got to get that soundboard. We need a new soundboard. It's $100. It's $99. I found them for $82. If you guys send me $99, I will use that for shipping and handling. But we need to get a $100 donation. In the next couple of days here, our PayPal should be unlocked. Stacy's in there. We finally got our bank account figured out after it'd been hacked for the third time. We just keep fighting. That's all we can do. So we'll get stuff out. We'll be able to pay some people. We got confirmation that packages were all delivered. There's nothing pending. If you didn't receive your package, your postal service says it's there. So the gas masks, the stoves. I think we got another order in today for a couple more stoves. Thank you. Those will go out in a couple days. We just got to get some cash flowing. And we have the cash. It's just locked up on the bank account. We can't get to it. And the PayPal. The PayPal's locked up because we didn't have a bank account to dump it into. Does that make sense? I don't want to sound like I'm whining here and poor talking. We have money in there. We just can't get to it. because we have to have an account to turn, you know, digital numbers into FRNs, sadly enough. So we're doing it. So the lady who called today, is she listening? I don't think she's in today. I don't think Mary's here. I think Mary was the one who ordered two more of the little Swiss canteen/stoves. Training coming up this Saturday, folks. Open to the public. Training this Saturday, open to the public. Be here no later than noon on Saturday. We're very laid back here. It's going to be survival training. We're going to do fire starting. We're going to do some basic compass reading. We're going to do more use of gear. We're going to demonstrate how to dig a Dakota fire hole. When I say we, I mean Lou. We're going to break out the tri-folding shovel, and Lou's going to dig a hole over in our, as we call it, a party in the playground, party in the playground, party in the playground. Noon this Saturday. I don't know. This is the 21st is Saturday. Lou's got to look it up for me. If today's the 18th, you do the math. You count on your fingers and toes. That's what I have to do.
21st.
21st is Saturday, and we'll use this second part of the day, you know. And eventually these are going to turn into Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday stuff. We'll do that kind of training. So bring your gear. Plan to sleep outside. As it's supposed to get a little cooler here, but it's still going to be hot. Bring lots of water. Bring the food that you want to eat. If you're not ready to eat field-prepared food, the kitchen will be made available to you. We may have a shower available with cold water, if you're okay with that up here. People want to shower before church on Sunday. If you're coming just for the Sunday thing, don't show up in the afternoon. You have to show up at no later than 10 a.m. in the morning. Again, the second day of training is open to the public. You have to go through the church service with us, because I want you to know what we're all about. You need to hear the message. And then you'll chow, bring some food for chow. If you're coming as a guest and you forget, you know, we always have extra, we share it. For the summer months, we don't put on a big shindig. In the winter, we cook all kinds of stuff up. It's a, what do they call it, a pitch-in dinner? Right now, it's just bring some sandwiches and stuff. It's just too hot to get that kitchen cranking up. And the women need a break. You know, when I say the women, there's like four people that do all the cooking. So we'll do that. And then afterwards, we're going to have a classroom scenario where I teach reaction to a mass casualty incident. It could be terrorist, could be natural disaster. It's going to be a FEMA-level course for the community emergency response level. No certificates issued. I'm no longer certified to do that. They cut me loose when they found out I was in the militia. That's a question I got. Oh, if you're doing cert training, can I get a cert certificate? No.
We'll take a pen and write on.
You know, I'll write on a piece of paper that you went through the training. We're not about certificates. We're not about laurels. We're about just training. So we'll do that. Bring a notepad and paper. I don't know if we're going to have a video yet. It depends on how many questions I get. And if people are grasping what I'm teaching them, there'll be no need for the video, and we'll just do it. And then what we usually do is after we do 2 or 3 months of combined training like this, different module training, then we'll have an event, a weekend event, where we'll apply it. Like we'll do a mass casualty incident response, and we'll do that. You know, we're trying to get organized. Like the last time we did this, we did several months in a row where it was search and rescue stuff, and then the training module for all day was looking for a kid with a broken leg up in the hills, and we just took a kid, broke his leg, dropped him into the hills. Actually, no, we didn't actually break his leg, but we wedged him in some rocks. There had to be some, you know, simulated rope rescue, all that kind of stuff. And we do that. We're a small militia. You're not Rambos. Like Skitty keeps sending me stuff. I'm not a Rambo. But we do the best we can with the tools that the Lord has given us, and that's all we can do. So that's what's coming up. I'm getting some IMs here. Let's see here. So that's pretty much it. I think we did everything. We sold the Rhino, so it's not for sale anymore. $2,000. Man, I wish I had $2,000. I would have loved to have had that. But it went to somebody nearby, so it'll be an asset that will be part of our group still. And we know it's there. I just won't get to play around in it all day. Put a little light bar on it. Nee, 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 nee. You know, so we don't get to do that. So we're going to get back into it. I'm going to do a little reminder of what we're doing. We're talking about how America is becoming a third world nation. First off, rising unemployment and poverty. You guys can all agree with me on that. Economic dependence. We're slowly approaching the point where our GDP is going to be equal to our expenditures, our gross domestic product, and there's no turning back from that. We're in debt. Our debt rating from China has gone way down. Trillions of dollars overseas. People own America. Outside this border that we have around this nation that's not enforced, people own us. Declining civil rights is where we were picking it up. Free speech zones, permits to assemble, being destroyed because of going after what's wrong in the government. Secret meetings, secret police, training our youth, the whole thing's there. Declining civil rights. America is becoming a country like China, which is one of the lowest scores according to Freedom House. We talked about that. A final indicator is when the government insists upon secrecy for its own actions while new laws and systems are created to put the individual under nearly constant surveillance. A great quote from... Oh, I can't remember who gave it, and I'm sorry. If you guys get it, when I got the quote, and I'll paraphrase it. It said, more and more in America, religion is said to be a private issue and not to be in the public venue. But more and more over the years, they are slowly, slowly destroying anything that is private. They're encircling it, and there will be no private matters anymore. That's how they do it. Freedom is not something that can be regulated. And the minute they start to regulate it is when it started to decay. And that was probably, what, 1803? Right after the Revolution, when the Constitution was signed, immediately they started restricting things. You can't build a shed. Up here, one of the big things they're doing now is they're putting ads out in radio ads to people to turn in their neighbors for not having building permits. Have you noticed a new shed or maybe an addition to your neighbor's house? You didn't see a reputable contractor putting it up. Let us know about it. They're giving rewards to stool pigeons for the county so they can reap some more money. You know, and what it's going to be, oh, we'll give you amnesty. Just come in and get the permits and pay some penalties. You don't have to tear it down. It's about the money. And they're going to start doing that. You're going to see more declining civil rights. And the advancement of other folks having more rights than you that aren't even American citizens. You know, they're playing roulette with your rights, but it's not just chance. They know exactly what they're doing. And like this law coming into effect, they're sweeping across the country. You can't videotape policemen while they're doing their job. Mm-hmm. More and more communities are doing this. You can't videotape, you know, the guy that was on the motorcycle where the off-duty police officer jumps out and points a gun at him? That guy got in trouble for videotaping someone he didn't even know was a cop under some stupid law where he was back east that you can't videotape cops. You know, I may not like a lot of these groups in L.A. or New York that are going around harassing cops and videotaping. A lot of them may be criminal and order, but I love the fact that cops need to realize that they're always being videotaped too.
Yeah.
I recommend people do that all the time to their cars. Rig up a camera. Have a camera. They have a digital voice recorder on you at all times. Hide it in the car somewhere. Rig a mic up. I used to do that kind of stuff. So, reasons and indicators that this nation is no longer a first world nation. I don't think we're slipped down a slippery slope. I think we're already in the bottom. We're already in the valley of tyranny. And if you've listened to me for more than an hour or two, you know that. Now, this next one, number four, increasing political corruption. When political corruption becomes the accepted norm as opposed to the exception, then there's a good bet your country resembles a third world nation. Congress and all major institutions face a growing crisis in confidence. There's a record low 11% of the population believe Congress is doing a good job. It now seems obvious to all observers that big corporations directly control the agenda of Washington, much like typical corrupt third world countries. How many people want your kids to grow up to become politicians? How many of you just cringe thinking at that? What does that tell you? I bet if you did a survey, do you want your kid to grow up to be a pimp, a drug dealer, or a politician? Politician would be third on the list. And that sounds facetious, but I honestly believe that. At least pimps and drug dealers don't necessarily lie about what they do. Of course, the political pimps and drug dealers do. I posted something on Facebook that said I compared politicians to prostitutes, and a bunch of people got mad because I was debating prostitutes. Seriously, I actually got mail from people, hey, prostitutes are people too, and they deserve to be dealt with respect. They're just people working hard. How dare you compare them to politicians? And it was not a joke. These were from my Christian friends who are lily-livered white sheep Christians. These are people that I'm trying to convert into sheepdogs. And they were offended that I compared prostitutes to politicians because it was a bad thing to do to the prostitutes. I should have had more love for the prostitutes than to compare them to politicians. They basically do whatever they want up there. They exempt themselves from laws. You got Rangel being dangled right now in this high-tech lynching that he's talking about. But they're all... I don't think if you had a decent private investigation agency that could apply the time, every single one of them's corrupt. On every level, even the local stuff. If you really paid attention to what's going on in your community, the graft, the paybacks. I mean, San Bernardino County, when I lived there, they were arresting the County Board of Supervisors like on a monthly basis for getting payola and stuff from contractors to build things places they shouldn't be building them. You know, and then it gets even worse. People die. People live and die on the decisions these people make, and it's all for sale. You've been watching what's going on in Bell, California, this little tiny town that used to have a surplus. Now it's got a deficit because they were paying their people. City council members are getting thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for working 2 days a week. And getting huge, huge retirement packages for serving one or two terms. Getting $75,000 a year for the rest of their life for serving as a city manager for just a little bit. Giving themselves $2,000 raises every year per month. The corruption goes from the top to the bottom. Don't tell me, oh, but my local guys are good. You may know one or two local guys, but the system is inherently evil. So increasing political corruption. The only difference between, you know, the federales in Mexico and the federales here is the federales in Mexico don't put up any front that they're not corrupt. They don't lie to you. They just come over, put a gun to your head and say, Morita, give me the bite. Morita, I'm probably saying it wrong, the bite. Same thing in Venezuela. Every place I went, at least they had the decency to not lie to you about it. And just, their hand was out. They were like a bellhop everywhere we went. Oh, Christian missionaries? Sure. If you grease my palm, you can go into village. I'm sounding kind of Russian there. I can't get my accents right lately. I think it's something to do with my medications. And then this big one, this next one. People will deny this. People will deny this. Every military guy I run into when I'm out doing something, oh, this isn't true. That violates posse comitatus. Their ignorance should be pasted on their foreheads. Military patrolling the streets and performing police operations inside the United States, our own military. Right now, it's just our own military that we know of. I always hear reports, I saw Russian tanks, I saw Chinese troops. Most of them are going to training areas. When you people start seeing them on the streets, I want to know about it. Military patrolling the streets. The rise of militarized police state is a hallmark of most third world countries. Think about how many SWAT teams and how our troops look like soldiers now. Our troops, see, I did it right there. How our police officers look like soldiers now. Our gang units, all the specialized units funded by the federal government. They have militarized our police. Particularly in the days of rapid economic collapse, America's declaration of the war on terror has created a constant threat to national security that has allowed for the military to be deployed on American soil. Building upon the war on drugs, this has created a fusion between the military and local police where military-grade weapons and tactics are being used against American citizens. Okay. You know, NORCOM? You guys remember that story? Maybe I need to hit that one again. Military checkpoints are moving farther inland, away from meaningful border control functions, and a full-blown military presence in American cities has been planned by the U.S. Army War College. You guys know all that. You guys are probably on this just as much, if not more, than I am. We are a third world nation. Military, the militarization of our police, these right here in our own community of Visalia, 30 miles away, they just do random roadblocks. They say it's for DUI, but they only get one or two DUIs. They're doing it like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. I've told you that. They're checking for weapons. They're checking for IDs. They want to see your traveling papers. May I have your papers? I got that accent right. This nation is a third world nation. We are already under tyranny. The thing is that they are so skilled at what they're doing, most of the sheep don't even realize it's happened. Now, number six, failing infrastructure. As 46 of 50 states are on the verge of bankruptcy, cities are going dark. Asphalt roads are returning to the Stone Age, and nationwide budget cuts are leaving students without teachers, supplies, or full-time education. These are common features one will see as they travel through the poorest of third world countries. Now, they did the bailout for the teaching unions. It's only going to last a little bit. It's not going to last, you know, very long. But it was just to buy out the unions so that they'll vote for them coming in November. It'll probably be just enough of a Band-Aid to keep the teachers operating until November. They have to keep the schools running. That's their brain mush factories where they convert your children to turn you in. So that's one thing that they're going to spend money on. But failing infrastructure. California, we're going to fail, and they're going to try to get you guys to pay for it. Everybody that's not in California, they're going to tell you, they're going to give you some valued added tax or something to save us. Or they'll just print more money, and they'll tax you with the hidden tax of inflation and steal from you that way. Now, anyone that's ever traveled to a third world nation, and it seems to be the only place I've been, have been America and third world nations. I don't think I've been to Canada. I can't remember. I may have as a kid with my dad. Right now, it escapes me. But I've always been south of the border, Central America, that kind of stuff, northern South America, the northern end of South America. And as soon as you leave the cities, the roads turn to garbage. What's happening to our roads, our bridges? We got bridges falling. It hasn't happened in a while, but bridges falling in and killing people. And there's no money to rebuild them. All that money from the stimulus to build bridges and stuff? I see this do-nothing construction going on everywhere, resurfacing, tearing up roads and putting in new road bases, and then, you know, it doesn't last very long. Basic, just make work. Boondoggles. The infrastructure's fallen apart. The infrastructure has fallen apart. And our ports. When's the last time we built a new refinery in America? Huh? A new power generating plant. When have we done that? Instead, they're taking them offline, aren't they? They're not renovating anything. Nuclear plants are being shut down because they're just because of all the annoying lawsuits and regulations. They're just not economically feasible. So failing infrastructure. How can we as a nation function when we don't have a decent highway, rail system, roads? I mean, interstate commerce between the states. How is it going to function? They've pretty much bled the truck drivers dry, and the money didn't go back into the roads. Here in California, I think we're paying like 36 cents a gallon tax, and it doesn't go to the roads. They rate it every year for general fund issues. 36 cents, I think it's, it might be, I might be, it may even just be 18 cents, but still, 18 cents per gallon? Where does it go? They raid the highway funds constantly here. Green sticker funds, anything to do with motor vehicles. They raid it, and they use it to pay for all their social liberal vote-buying activities that they do to keep the liberals happy. Now, this one is major. The disappearing of the middle class. Go to third world nations. You have the rich, top 5-10% maybe, and then you have all the everybody else, and very few middle class. Very few merchants, very few middlemen. You have haciendas up on the hill that are walled communities. It's like Merida, Venezuela. Impoverished city, has a university at it. And you had these palatial estates, you had resorts for foreigners to come to, and then everybody else. Substandard plumbing, no stoplights. I mean, it was just amazing how Merida runs. And it's one of the oldest cities in the Americas. During the last presidential debate season, they argued that a family income of $250,000 was solidly within the middle class. Well, census data shows that 15% of the families make over $100,000 a year, and only 1.5% of the families make over $250,000 a year. So they're saying that $250,000 a year income for dual income families was middle class, while only 1.5% of the families in America actually make that. The income gap between the rich and the poor has increased to a staggering level, which many more middle-class folks join the ranks of the poor every day. Cavernous income gaps may be what third-world nations are best known for. And meanwhile, with the layoffs, the factory closings, the deportation of our jobs, what I call it, it's not outsourcing, they deport our jobs to other countries so people, you know, five guys can, you know, they can pay five guys to do what you were doing. It's destroying the middle class. Another problem with the middle class are the ones that whine the most. They have the most to lose. If you're a poor person and you don't have a boat, a jet ski, a motorhome, and you've never had one, you're not going to complain when they're no longer available. But if you're Joe Sixpack middle class guy and you used to go to the lake every weekend and to the river fishing with your buddies and you had enough money to get all the beer you needed to get stupid, and now suddenly the economy's bad and you can't do that, you start complaining and whining. They don't like the middle class. The middle class are the biggest whiners that we've ever had. I'm not a fan of the middle class. I'm not a communist. I just don't like the middle class. We'll be back after the break. The last half hour, we'll continue this. Is America a third world country, and why?
Let the battle for freedom that guides us today. Time I hear children say the pledge of allegiance.
conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I keep waiting for you to do a little montage of sounds over there, like. It's your chance to shine. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and we are in our last half hour for August 18th, 2010. Now, we're out of here as soon as we turn off the mics. We've got to get to Bible study. So, please, we get the usual calls after the show, which I enjoy, and I'm not telling you not to call. 559-561-8225 if you want to call in the last half hour. But we're just... not going to be here, and nobody will be here to pick it up, because we're literally jumping in the car and driving the 350 yards down the road to the church. And yes, we do bring our car, because it gets us there quicker, and all of our gear's in the back of the car. So that's why we drive. I'm not that lazy yet. Luke could push me in my wheelchair when that day comes. What, Lou? I'm going to turn your microphone down. Come here. You know we can hear you now. There. I mean, turn the actual physical microphone and point it at you. Okay, folks, we're talking about what is making America a third world nation. It's already here. And we were talking about before the break the disappearing middle class. There is no more middle class. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of these today, but Lou, I'm going to post this in the chat room if you guys want to repost it. I tell you guys Facebook, MySpace. Let me do this, and then I'll post it and do that. I don't know what black noise would. Somebody said the fan is making white noise in the background, and I said, hey, that's racist, white noise. So I said, what would black noise sound like?
Yeah.
It would
yeah.
be like, yeah, 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 yeah. 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 Right, Lou got my joke before I even got it out of my head. He started doing it. So white noise is like high whiny noise. Is that what you're saying? Nasally? Okay, so I just posted this link to what I'm reading you from Activist Post. Okay, let's get back into it. So that's first 1 through 7. If you haven't been playing along at home, you can rewind and listen after the show. number 8, devalued currency. How many times do we use that term? Do we talk about the hidden taxation of inflation, the theft of your resources, the theft of your legacy to your children through devalued currency? The value of the Federal Reserve note, the FRN, has declined 96% since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913. 96%. Those are hard, tangible, right there in your face numbers. So the dollar is now worth 93% of what it was worth in 1913 when they attacked the U.S. government from within. The value of the dollar is based on its supply and circulation, and to a lesser extent, the demand for those dollars. Now, for the last 3 years, the money supply has spiked literally off the charts. It can be argued that the dollar has become America's top export as the world reserve currency, and if the volatile dollar is scrapped, which the UN and IMF, that's International Monetary Fund, now suggest, the demand will plummet, killing the currency. Now, everybody talked about the euro. The euro's getting hit now. China doesn't want to take dollars, I think, is what's happening. The OPEC keeps threatening to say, hey, we're not going to take dollars anymore. It'll be like an oil-backed currency. You know, they'll print some coin with King Fahad's face on it or something, and it'll represent a barrel of oil. The devalued currency, they just say what it's worth, and it's no more. You know, those of you that are banking on gold and everything, I know you say you're hedged that, you know, 20% of your value is in gold. I don't have any resources, so I don't have gold. I think I have some junk gold in here, around here somewhere, but I don't remember where I put it. I think it would be more valuable for me to melt down into a bullet sometimes, but I'm not one of those guys that pushes gold just because that's not within my realm of fiscal responsibility. I'd rather have lead and spam as my precious metal. Spam is a precious metal, isn't it? Sometimes it tastes that way. But they've devalued the currency. They control it. You bought into their system. I shouldn't say you bought into it. We were all born into this system. Anybody born after 1913? And a lot of us up until 10, 15 years ago were like, hey, it's a dollar. A dollar's a dollar. It's a greenback. You know, it's worth what it says it is. Now it's worth whatever they say it is. And the rest of the world now gets to say whatever it's worth. So they're going to devalue the currency even more. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe. I mean, is it going to be negative? But you see what inflation will do. You know, you look at the African nations, you know, where there's 10,000% inflation and stuff like that. It can happen here. If people are telling you, oh, that can't happen in America. We got stopgap measures. Nobody can do that. We can't do that here. Just slap them and walk away if they're not a baby. That goes back to what we were talking about in the first half hour. Don't slap babies. You can slap idiots, though. You probably get arrested, but, you know, don't tell them I told you to do it. They just think that it can never, the bottom's not going to fall out. These people are just like the opposite, the Chicken Little, the sky is falling all the time. You have the opposite people that say the bottom can never fall out. It can and it will. It's going to. It may not happen in my lifetime. It may not happen in Lou's. But as long as we keep this legacy of stewardship going, he'll train his kids, and they'll train their kids, and they'll prepare for this. I believe in the barter system up here. We don't use money very much at all. You know what we use money for? When we leave this mountain and have to interact with the people down there. But if somebody can come to me and say, hey, I've got this, what do you want to trade? I got a box of 22 shells. I got a can of Spam. You want to trade some eggs for some spices? That's what we do up here. Now, that makes our currency consumable to a certain extent, because we're using eggs and spices, and we will eat them. We will, you know, jerk our meat and, you know, purify or preserve our meat with it. But there are other items, too, you know, that we're not going to consume, non-consumable barter items. So the devalued currency, boom. To say that they're going to do this is to be naive. 96% since 1913. I mean, I can just tell by the people listening to this show, how much was a gallon of gas when you were in high school? What did $20 buy in 1984, which is the year I was supposed to graduate? Graduated a couple years later when I was already in the Army. But 1984, what would $20 was enough for me to survive 3 or 4 days. I mean, I could eat for $2. I could put $5 worth of gas in my car. I could go to a couple dance clubs for $2 or $3 cover charge and get enough gas to come home from Denver. You know, growing up in the plains of Colorado. $20 is all I needed for a weekend. But what did people make? $20 for me was a 2-hour job unloading a truck for somebody. $20 was me hosing out a cattle truck in about an hour and a half. So it wasn't that the wages were just lower. So don't play that game with me. Don't tell me that, well, people got paid, you know, minimum wage. My first job, real job, that wasn't from a family member or friend of a family member, $2.01 an hour working in the fields hoeing weeds for Bass Farms out in Eaton, Colorado. $2.01 an hour. I did it just because it was fun to hang out in the fields and do something all summer, but the money that I really made was unloading trucks and cleaning out cattle trucks, stuff like that, cleaning out stuff, doing whatever I could to make money. There was money to be made. Sure, the minimum wage was lower, but the prevailing wage for skilled labor, yes, cleaning out a trailer of cattle manure with a fire hose is skilled labor. When it's 20 degrees outside and it's all frozen and you got to learn how to cut it into blocks with a high-pressure hose. So I could work 5 or 6 hours a week during the winter and have enough to go party all weekend long, period. I can't do that now, and I can't hand that kind of world over. No telling I want my son to go party, but you get what I'm talking about. I can take my little 72 Vega, fill it up with gas for about $7, because I think it had a 14-gallon tank and it was 50 cents a gallon when I was in high school. Me and my friends, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, I remember one weekend in 1982, we bought all the Doritos and Mountain Dew we could muster, filled up our car full of gas, and just drove to L.A. to see what would happen. Just on the money that we had from our little piddly part-time jobs. Now, somebody working full-time can barely keep the lights on in their house. They have destroyed the middle class by destroying the value of the dollar and the value of an hour of work. They did it from both ends, folks. So don't think it's just about the currency. It's about what your labor is worth. The Bible says we're supposed to pay a man what he is worth for his labor. So you'll hear, you know, people up here who work for the pastor, you know, they'll get $20, $25 an hour for his tree trimming business, and people freak out. But he knows what a man's hour is worth if they're skilled. I know what my value is worth. I'm about $15 an hour because of my physical ailments and my desire to stop and drink and eat a lot sooner than other people. I know that. I know what I'm worth. But we live in a closed economy up here. I go down the hill, I'm going to get minimum wage. And what is it, $8.25 an hour now for minimum wage for California? Federal minimum wage is $7.25. When the federal government decides what you're worth, that's destroying the middle class. Number 10, capital controls. More nations have enforced capital controls on their economies collapse. When it's fascism. When a nation takes over the production and the control of investment, the nation's collapse. And most recently happened in Argentina and Venezuela as they sought to keep the remaining wealth within their borders. Now, the SEC, already has adopted policies to allow money market funds to suspend withdrawals during a financial crisis, while the recent HIRE bill, H.R. 2487, go look that one up, H.R. 2487, puts restrictions on Americans moving capital to foreign countries. Some economists suggest that the national debt has gotten so high that the government must now force investment of private capital into U.S. Treasury debt. That's all kind of confusing, I know it is for me, but when you can't go to the bank and withdraw all of your worth without somebody saying, well, we can't do that, that's capital controls. It's to prevent runs on banks. And they're worried about people not just taking it and sticking it in their mattress, but taking it and sticking it in the Cayman Islands, taking it and sticking it into production in Chile in a gold mine or something. They're scared to death. You're going to take this money outside the country. Remember during the Cold War, Russia, it was illegal to take their Cougarans or whatever out of their nation? Well, we're doing that here. We're not letting people take their capital out of the nation. You're going to have to convert it to gold, but then pretty soon they're going to say you can't transfer gold. Capital controls is a sign of a fascist government. And they're doing it now. They're working it. Check out this HR 2487. Now, I have to admit, my brain doesn't wrap around all the financial stuff very well. So if you guys can do that, that would be a great big help for me. Give me a synopsis. Write it up and send in a report and we'll talk about it. Just the fact, take out your local paper and look at how many roadblocks they're doing in your communities. Look at just the level. Okay, you want to really see that we're in a tyranny, that our nation is controlled everything, you know, from, you know, people use the term womb to tomb. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed. Go down to your county office and look at the permit list. Look at the fee list for permits. Everything from who you get to marry to putting a place to dispose of your poop on your own property. They are ensconced in every part of your life. You have to think about it. A birth certificate. Now, these things go beyond just third world status. These things go beyond the pale of just intrusive nanny government. It's evil. It's outright vile and evil. I mean, political party systems are a joke. Here in California, we can't even get the Constitutional Party on the ballot because of infighting between regulations and who did what and who signed what petition first. We cannot even get the Constitutional Party as a recognized California party. It has to be the independent party. I'm at a loss for words, which is rare for me. I look out the window and I see this beautiful view of Sequoia National Park, the mountains, the sun setting. Yesterday, spending the time on a chunk of land that we were looking at for a great retreat site. And then you realize, hey, that up there is a national park. There's more regulation on me traveling through that national park than to get into a prison sometimes. The jurisdictional change, walking just a few miles and crossing a line within our state. Somebody's calling me. I don't know where it is. Dropping stuff all over the place. The fish in the fishbowl don't see this stuff. That's why it's up to us. I did have a message. I can't believe this.
What?
I'm still getting emailed by people that are causing me problems. Those two. Okay. We have to see on the horizon what's really coming. But it's not just what's on the horizon, it's what's here. And educating people is the hardest part. I trust me, as a trainer, as an outreach person, nobody wants to see just how nasty it's going to get. Because they can't even see how nasty it is right now today. It's kind of like that battered wife syndrome. Oh, but the government loves me. It was my fault. I shouldn't have built that shed without a permit. I should pay them $3,000 in fines. The government's there to protect me and love me and make sure. What if there's a flood? Who are we going to turn to? The battered wife syndrome of the American people. That just popped in my head, and I apologize to any battered wives that may be listening. People hate it when I use the term rape, too. They get really mad at me. You don't know what it's like. You've never been... Yeah, fortunately, I don't know what it's like to be raped. I know what it's like to be raped by my government. I've had a paycheck. I used to get a paycheck. I used to pay taxes. When I wrote a $10,000 check in addition to my weekly withholding, that was what it felt like to be raped. To have my property, my creation, taken from me so I couldn't give it to my children because of this socialism that's out there. So I don't mean to belittle people that have been physically raped or beaten, but you get my analogy, because that's the only thing I can think of, what they're doing. It's that vile and that corrupt. Thank you. I have a lady in here who says she agrees. So it's usually women that get mad at me when I use those kind of analogies. You don't know. It's a female thing. Well, yeah, I pray I never know what it's like. But I know one thing. I don't have that attitude. I don't act like a battered woman. I don't act like a rape victim. I don't let them decide how I'm going to react. I react based on what the Bible tells me to do. Sic semper tyrannis. And if I'm saying it wrong, too bad. Thus always to tyrants. That came up like four times today. It's one of those things. People were sending me stuff. I'd see it written somewhere. You know. John Wilkes Booth said it after he capped Lincoln. It's rumored that Brutus said it after he capped Caesar. And there's no proof in that. It may have been added later, a little literary license, because none of the people of the day brought it up. Timothy McVeigh was supposedly wearing a shirt that said that. I don't know. But why do we allow this to continue to happen? I don't say we, you, and me, but the majority of the people. And then they ridicule us for bringing it to their attention. I've got this ongoing thread thing going on here on Facebook. I don't like to bring negativity into the show, but I got this moron that is just after my throat for bringing this stuff up. He's just so offended that I would challenge his GOP view of the world. That I would bring up facts that prove that the Republican way of life is a false way of life. Just as much as the libtard way of life is. These people have embraced their prison guards to the point, I guess, you know, what do they call it, the Helsinki syndrome or whatever. They've embraced the terrorists so much that they're defending them. They've licked the hand of the master so much that they've come to love this way of life. And when shows like this, you know, in my feeble attempt to bring you this stuff, agitate and irritate them and bring a backlash like that, I don't know what to think of it. Are we that far gone? I mean, do we really just need one huge... And it's not, there's got to be a word for this. You know, we have ethnic cleansing, which is unjust. But there's got to be a psychological cleansing of this nation. A purging of the stupidity. A cleansing of the thought process. And I mean, in my mind, I know how these things end up because I study history. The goal is to be cued and ready so that we're not on the dirty end of that stick. Because that's what they're going to do to us, because they are the majority. The 90% plus people that love their captivity will turn on us like rabid dogs. And when we bring them these facts, you see the reaction, you see the vile response in these social networking things, in the media. We don't even talk about the media. In your neighborhood and in your family. How do people react when you bring them the truth? Where do we stop? Do we stop trying to bring them the truth? I think the Lord decides on that. But for me, it's when it stops bearing fruit. But, you know, when they're not listening intently anymore and they're not watching the videos you give them and they're, oh, I never got around to it. Don't waste your time on them. But I, standing on the outside looking in, because I am on the outside of society, I have to say that I'm an outcast. I always have been. Didn't matter if I was a punk with a blue mohawk or now some redneck, chubby militia guy. You know, Christian radical, as they put it. I'm looking in, I'm looking from outside the fishbowl in, and I can't comprehend living my life like that. I don't know how they get up every morning and swallow the party line for breakfast, brush their teeth with propaganda, you know, put on their suit and powder their behinds with the lies, and function. There has to be a certain level of retardation, willful lobotomy, you know, a spiritual lobotomy that allows them to do it. I can no sooner comprehend how they function under that without being bitter than I can understand how a murderer commits heinous crimes and has no angst or remorse for it. It's that same level of mental instability, I think, and maybe I'm being unfair to the sheep, but I'm tired of them. I'm very sick of the sheep. I get over 100 messages a day, emails, personal IMs, and about 25% are from people that stumble on the show and are just incensed that I'm spreading this message, that I'm even playing this little tiny part. And they try and engage me and take up my time, and I don't. And once in a while I do it, because sometimes it's fun to hurl, you know, insults back and forth. I have to admit, there is a certain manly back and forth that gets fun that way. And because I always have this sense of humor about it, it doesn't get to me. I don't grind my teeth. I don't go and kick a dog afterwards because I can separate from it, because I know they are like little children. You know, how do you argue with a slave? How do you convince a slave that is unwilling? You know, I mean, you look at Moses out in the wilderness when they were like, it would be better if we would just go back to Egypt. How dare you drag us into the wilderness just to die? I would rather die a free man than live comfortably as a slave any day. And most of you are nodding your heads, and hopefully all of you are nodding your heads at a phrase like that. What went wrong in the minds of these people that think the other way? That would gladly live on their knees than die on their feet? That the legacy they leave their children is one of obedience and servitude? Is there hope for America? I would argue, you know, whoever, I can't remember who sent, like three or four of you guys sent me this article on America is becoming a third world nation. My thesis is that it is already a third world nation, has been so for a long time. And that the only way we're going to survive this is to break it up. There goes my seditious talk again. Yes, I'm a seditionist, okay? When you've got a raging lunatic animal running through your house, destroying your things, endangering your family, the only thing you can do is put a bullet in its head and stop it. Drag it outside, eat what you can off of it, and leave the rest for the vultures. Let the bones bleach in the sun. I'm sorry, America, but I don't believe in America anymore. I'm one of these guys. I don't fly the American flag. That infuriates a lot of militia guys. I don't do the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody, oh, you're just like Obongo. You don't do it. You know, you don't do the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't do the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't stand for the national anthem. I'm not that kind of patriot. I'm a patriot to what the founders put in. I'll fly a battle flag that Washington flew. I will do that. The Betsy Ross flag. I'll do that. I'll fly the first battle flag of the first Coast Guard or whatever. I'll do all that. I will not fly what's called Old Glory anymore because for what it has become and what it represents. They have taken control of that legacy. Because our generations before us, we can only blame them. My biggest fear is that the coming generations are going to blame you and me and Lou because we did nothing in this time and space. Oh, man, why is my... Just answer it and say that we're on the air. Answer it, tell them we're on the air.
Hello?
We cannot continue down this road any longer. The bridges are all out. The potholes are too big. It's time to make a new road, America. It sounds like a folk song. It's time to make a new road, America. We are not going to get through this. We're going to have to go around it, abandon it, let it die on the vine, and if need be, clip that vine. I know people don't like hearing it. I know people hate it. Hello, Stacy. But that's where I'm at. And I'm depending on the Lord to guide us. I'm depending on the Lord to bring us to that decision. I'm not a leader. I'm not the guy to call you to arms. But I'm telling you how I see things from where I'm sitting. I'm not just asking questions anymore. I'm making statements. I'm the one that's saying... Maybe it's time to burn the house down and just start with the new foundation. Yeah, thank you, Lou. I was wondering when that was going to come in. This song doesn't really fit the mood. What is this one? What is this one? What's this one? What's this song, Lou? Onward, Christian Soldiers. It does fit the mood. Lewis, good job. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Make a donation in our name to Liberty Tree Radio so that we can stay on the air. We'll be back tomorrow with the Lord knows what he's going to put through my head. God bless you all, and listen to the song.